Hey there, Editor Phil here. Listen, it's been, it's been a hell of a week, and honestly, Logan and I skipped our record last weekend for some low-key hang time. The Dragon Age topics we have lined up are gonna be fun, but we're taking this week off for a much-needed mental health break. We hope that you're taking care of yourself, too. But as a podcast that oddly has a whole section of positivity at the start, I thought I would edit together a supercut of our Bright Spot segment up until now. Most shows have a clip show, so, you know, consider this our first. Hang tight, stay healthy, stay safe, and I guess as I usually say at the end of the episode, we will see you next week with another Codex entry. See you out there. And I am very curious to jump scare you with a request for a bright spot of your week.
So yesterday you saw some of this. I did some yard work and finally got some gross invasive vines out of the trees in front of my office window. And they look much better now. And that's I think that's mine. That will make every day this next week slightly better looking out this window.
It's nice. I hate we have a invasive bush that we are trying to get rid of right now. That is, it doesn't look bad, but just simply knowing that it is an invasive species is enough to make us want to get rid of it.
It's weird how easy it is to kill a houseplant and how hard it is to kill something outside occasionally.
Yeah, and just built different, you know.
We had a rose bush growing up that served as a boundary marker for our backyard football games. And I think we tried to kill that for a decade, and that damn thing came back every year with a vengeance to draw blood and destroy footballs.
Yeah, it's even more mad now every year.
What can men do against such reckless hate?
Yeah. Though there is some amount of Civil War cannon fire behind you, do you have a bright spot that you'd like to share with the class?
I do. It will be a bunch of the people I follow on YouTube just dropped a video very recently, like last week.
Okay.
We got a Jenny Nicholson video not that long ago. We got a video from Paper Will, who I don't know if you and I have talked about before.
No, we haven't.
Another long-form content creator. They spent about a year or so putting this one together. It's a 5.5 hour long video on entertainment produced by North Korea.
Okay.
Yeah, and their previous episode was on entertainment produced by cults. Somewhat related to our cast, they have a really good one around video games and 9/11.
Weird. Okay.
Yeah. Good stuff. Darker than I would maybe just recommend for most people.
I mean, those three topics are real feel good stories, I suspect.
Yeah. But yeah. None of it sneaks up on you for the most part.
That's fair.
He's pretty explicit about it. And then the other one that just dropped was Philosophy Tube, which I'm not for sure if you're familiar with them either. Abigail Thorne just released a video on Judith Butler and gender trouble, which I have threatened you with a few times now.
Yeah, you have. Okay.
So we got scooped pretty hard there, which is ideal because that text is beyond me.
Yeah, someone more equipped and more knowledgeable has tackled it.
I just watched it this morning. Send
people there.
Exactly. Exactly. Just watch Philosophy Tube's video, and eventually we'll talk about that at some point, and I'll do a worse job of explaining it.
Yeah, well, we'll say this is what we took away from it and how we think about it, but also for someone who actually knows what they're talking about, go here.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. So yeah, that's just awesome. a plethora of 10 hours or so of content from people who put out videos somewhat regularly all
nice.
Over the last week.
Sweet. Yeah, mine, I mean, we just spent probably 40 minutes of the pre-show discussing it, but mine is I have finally received the loaner or previous laptop that you've been playing with. Mm-hmm. I've now joined the Republic of Gamers. And I'm excited to jump into Helldivers 2 as my maiden journey on this beast.
Man, we're going to see how long that thing lasts. Part of me thinks it's going to burn out in a week, but also part of me thinks it'll outlive both of us.
I mean, if it goes down in the pursuit of super democracy, then I think that it's all right.
Yeah.
But before we get into that, I would very much like to hear your second bright spot of the day, Logan.
I mean, I think it might be talking about Lieutenant Surge, the weird implications of World War Pokemon. But, I mean, maybe I'll just like recycle what I said 10 minutes ago that I'll probably cut from this recording is the super cool desk lamp that I have. It's kind of a bright spot for me, never ending. There's an old Dazor fluorescent tube lamp that weighs like, I don't know, 30 pounds or something. But it's going to outlive both of us, most certainly. And I just think it's neat.
Nice. Yeah, you sent me pictures and videos of that lamp because you had to like restore it to some degree, right? It had some real like 1960s-esque wiring in it.
Yeah, I cleaned that up a bit. I was considering doing a full like LED conversion on it. The fluorescent tubes are not particularly quiet. And I still may do that at some point, but for right now it is living relatively similar to its manufactured state. And it could double as like a home defense weapon if needed.
That thing is worst comes to worst, I can do it with my lamp.
Yeah.
Nice. My bright spot is also somewhat handy related. I got a big old truckload of wood from the Lowe's yesterday. We bought an outdoor like couch and like two chairs and stuff probably 2 or 3 years ago when we bought this place, and they have, as expected, not held up super great in the New England weather. So I have decided that the thing I didn't want to do 3 years ago, I now have a good design for an outdoor sectional that I'm going to make. So I have all of the components, and now I just have to sit down and actually cut and screw all the wood.
Are you doing like upholstery work as well?
No. Cushions will be IKEA stock off the rack stuff, but the construction of it will be all mine.
Gotcha. So you build out the frame and then do like the tie on.
Yep.
Kind of. Gotcha. That makes sense.
Yeah. It's going to be fun. I'll send you some pictures as I'm working on it. It is
awesome.
It is a beast of a project, but it's going to be fun.
I imagine you'll have it done just in time to put them away for the winter.
That's, we have some travel coming up, so I will not be able to start work on this project at least for another 2 weeks. Then we're midsummer. Who knows? Who knows how long it's going to take?
Yeah, burn a couple days because of how hot it's going to be.
Yeah, come back. It's July,
Mm-hmm.
It's too hot.
We'll have to do like an over-under pool on the date of completion.
Does it happen before Labor Day? Yes, no.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Well, we'll see. It'll be close, maybe. It'll either be really close or it won't be close at all.
Stay tuned for Patio Watch 2024.
Yeah. It's just a live cam of it, but it's just a photo of how it is now because it's how it's going to be in 6 months. Let's do bright spots. What is your bright spot today, Logan?
Ooh, you go first.
Oh God. Okay. My bright spot is, I think I cut this out of one of the other episodes we did, but I got the SP, the emulator SP, the Ambernic.
Oh yeah, thing. Yeah.
And I have been playing Metroid Zero Mission for the last couple days, and that is, you know what? I don't think enough people talk about that Metroid thing. It's real good. It's fun.
I've heard that once or twice.
Yeah. It's good stuff. I have not played... I'm not a Metroidvania person at all, really. Whenever I get to those games, it just feels like it sure would be nice to be able to double jump from the beginning. But this is a good one. It's very simple, and I've only got lost like once or twice. So
the classics are classic for a reason.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I guess. Oh, we'll go with my squirrel pup finally emerging from the nest. So for those that don't know, I have a squirrel friend that lives on the property and comes and hangs out with me, and I feed them walnuts. And they gave birth, probably 8 or 10 weeks ago.
Okay.
And we are now seeing the little one out roaming around occasionally.
Oh, fun. I love that. It's a little new friend to start feeding walnuts.
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome. We have two baby bunnies who have now just become part of the family at this point. Like whenever we are out in the backyard, they are just, they're there, and they are becoming less and less afraid. And we are trying not to engage because I would prefer my son not thinking he can pick up everybody in the wilderness, but it's getting harder and harder every day.
We are now up to at least two squirrels. There might be two babies. I'm not sure. She had three last year. So there's at least two squirrels, three rabbits, three birds' nests now, although I think one of them is now empty. But one is also freshly built. And then, oh, a salamander. I have a salamander now.
Okay, in the yard, okay.
Just in a hole up near the house.
You have confirmed. Yeah, okay. You have confirmed that it's a salamander now. Last we talked, it was possibly a snake.
Yeah, it is. I am quite certain it is some flavor of salamander now.
Okay.
Or maybe a newt. I think those are technically under the, I don't know. It's an amphibian with legs.
It's a nondescript lizard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Perfect.
But before we start on that, what is your bright spot, Phil?
My bright spot. Oh, this one's easy. This morning, we have a structure in the family because my wife and I are, for the life of us, completely incapable of going to bed at a reasonable time, which is 9 o'clock in this house. A reasonable time is 9 o'clock. So okay. we end up staying up too late, and then it means that one of us has to wake up with the kid at 5 o'clock in the morning, which is not great. So
that
we
5 a.m. can roll around awful early some days.
Yep. Yeah. So we trade off for the most part. So one of us gets to sleep in a little bit later to, like, you know, sleeping in 7:30-ish, maybe 8 if we're lucky, while the other one wakes up and takes care of the boy in the morning. But I got to sleep in a little bit today, and then I got woken up at like 7:45, and my wife and my son came up and they're like, "Hey, how do you feel about going to the beach today?" And I was very groggy, so I said, "That sounds great." So we spent the morning with a surprise beach trip, and hung out at like a really nice beach out by us that I love going to.
I feel like that is like platonic bright spot right there.
Yeah, yeah, it was 65 degrees, sunny, beautiful, barely packed when we got there because, you know, we got up early, so we ended up getting to the beach at like 9 a.m. It was perfect.
And you didn't have to plan any of it.
Nope, I just showed up. I drove us there. That was my participation. The ideal bright spot.
Well,
how about you?
Mine's going to be a bit of a cop-out, a little bit. Because it's going to actually transition us into this episode. I can't remember if it came up in our last record or if it was after we had stopped. But I think it was after we stopped. You and I both tried to log into our old school RuneScape accounts.
Yes.
I haven't been on in a number of months, which is common. That's how most humans play old school RuneScape. And normally, when I know I'm going to not play for a while, which I did this last time, I make sure I didn't leave anything sitting in the Grand Exchange. Because a lot of the items that I flip for profit are sometimes, you know, a huge chunk of my liquid assets. Like,
90% or more of my gold pieces, sometimes I'll sink into like a flip, which I'll normally execute over a few hours, because that item's price fluctuates, you know, a mil or two over the course of the day. And sometimes, you know, like an item nerf or something will happen, and a 100 mil item might turn into a 20 mil item over the course of a day or two. So I tend to not leave any offers in, but this last time I had forgotten that I intentionally left offers in, and I made about 25 million gold pieces on those.
Nice.
But before we get to today's topic, which I still haven't told you, do you have a bright spot?
Do I have a bright spot? Do I have a bright spot? You go first.
Oh, God. You're going to make me do that after this week? How about, we'll go with storm prediction abilities, honestly, given the last week.
The state existence. Of technology.
Yeah. So this will definitely come up in an info dumping at some point. Not the one we're going to record next, but maybe the one after it will be like about Ted Fujita or something. but like, yeah, just the ability to predict storms with any degree of certainty is pretty wild and like aggressively life-saving.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's pretty neat.
Okay. Mine is I finally started, I downloaded GB Studio, which is a, I don't know, it's like a game, I don't know if I would call it an engine, maybe it's an engine, it's like a game creation, like a piece of software. Kit. Yeah, kind of, to make Game Boy and Game Boy Color style games. So I finally downloaded it and started digging through documentation this past week, but I sat down with a pixel art creator, and I finally made like a main avatar for this game idea I've had bouncing around in my head for, I don't know, probably feels like months now. So it finally feels like I have started a project, and I looked at the guy in pixel art and said, that's pretty neat. I feel good about that finally. So it's very small successes is my bright spot this week.
Is that the like kickoff to a continuation of that? Or
yeah.
Is this now scratch the itch and you're like, that can go back on the shelf for four more months?
I have completed the task as I set out to see it. No, it's a continuation. It was kind of just the, like when you start a big project like that in something that you don't really, like I'm not very well versed in it. Like I'm like skilled in UI design and like writing the words for UI. But when it comes to like how to start a game, or how to even like build characters, it's very difficult for me to find a place to start. So by having like a little avatar that I finally feel good about, I feel like, okay, now I have somewhere to go. And like, I've started working on like idle animations and like walk animations, and that will lead into mapping like movement directions and stuff. So it, I guess like very much like this episode, it is like, okay, I have set a foundation and now I can kind of go places from there. So I finally feel like I have found a footing that I can move from.
Yeah, your technological foot in the door.
Right. And it's a little cool guy I like to look at.
You got a guy now.
Yeah, I got a guy.
Everyone needs a little guy sometimes.
Yeah, made a guy with a frock coat. What's not to love about that?
I color me surprised.
Yeah. As a person who has one of my remaining frock coats in your closet now, I hope. You understand my love for a frock coat. Before we get into Lara Croft's Tomb Raider, do you have a bright spot to share with us today?
You'd think I would have. Oh, yeah. I'm going to make it about RuneScape since we're not talking about that today.
Perfect.
They released, the official Old School RuneScape channel released a metal cover album, and it is excellent.
Like of all the OSRS songs and stuff?
Yeah.
Some good ones
they find like YouTube creators who do things around RuneScape, and then they just hire them to do things officially for them, has been kind of their MO lately.
That's nuts.
So there was a lo-fi album that is excellent. I got through like two semesters with that thing playing. And then, yeah, the metal one just came out and it rips. I don't know who made that one. That one might have actually been the OSRS team. I haven't looked. Or just the Jagex audio team, actually. Because some of the RS3 tracks have some more fully voiced instrumentation, and it sounds kind of similar. But it is everything I want out of a metal cover album.
Especially like the fantasy vibes of RuneScape also probably just make for good subject matter.
Yeah. And then they paid some pixel art individual to like render scenes for all of the songs.
Like his music videos?
You're getting a gameplay video of the area in question where that song would play.
Okay, so some real machinima.
It's done in 2D pixel art instead of whatever the old school polygon count is.
Oh man, okay.
It's done super well. I'll just send it to you.
Yeah, I will have to check this out. I'll also drop the link in the show notes because this sounds important for people to experience.
It's good for like lifting. You'll have to let us know if it's any good for running, maybe.
Yeah. I will give that a go. Always need that. Something to put before or after BFG Division and Rip and Tear.
The only downside is it's currently a 41-minute video with the tracks time-stamped, but not on separate tracks themselves.
I'll just rip that and separate them out.
I haven't done it yet, but that's been my plan. There you
Amazing.
Go.
I will
There's
watch
the
this.
Metal mixtape.
The metal mixtape. Oh, it's so good.
It's real good. Like, even just scrubbing through it, like, the visuals are done really well. Autumn Voyage starts at, like, around 5:30. That's one of my go-to tracks.
All right.
And it's from Lumbridge, from a very nostalgic area. So that's a good place to start.
Nice. That's awesome. Yeah, I will listen to that.
What about you?
Mine is... Oh, you know what? Yesterday, I began the progress on building that outdoor sofa I alluded to in probably a recording a month and a half ago. It was 90 degrees outside and too much humidity, and I sat there absolutely drenched in sweat building a small outdoor sofa for our patio that, at this rate, will be done by August, I think.
Just in time to pack it in.
Yep. I mean, if we have a winter like we had last year, it'll be usable year-round.
Yeah, there is that also. Yeah.
But it was fun. I haven't like gone out and built anything out of wood and saws and screws in a while. So it was good to get out there and do that again.
How are you finishing the wood? Is this a stain situation? A paint?
It's a stain situation, and then some like a deck sealer on top of it, since it's outdoor. It's pressure treated, yeah. And then color it in some way because it's still kind of raw lumbery and green, and then like a deck sealer or something to hopefully let it last a little bit longer. It's all made out of little square balusters is what they're called, like basically the verticals in a railing or something, so mm-hmm. It makes it a little bit
easier. 2x2s.
Yeah. So it makes it easier to just like pop pieces out if, as the thing ages, I can kind of like swap out components and everything instead of having to rebuild the entire damn thing, which is the problem with our current patio set. So it is somewhat future-proofed. We'll see if it ends up staying that way, but currently it is being built. I have roughly a seat built and a side armrest. It is not usable quite yet.
this would be a giant pain in the rear and require far more planning than it's worth. But it would be kind of neat to see one, build two, leave one out and let it get like kind of weather beaten, and then mix those parts together to reconstruct both of them with half of each.
Just a ship of Theseus outdoor set?
Yeah, exactly. Is it still the same sofa? Who knows?
Whom's could say? It's Bright Spot's time. Did you remember to bring a Bright Spot today?
I did. I brought something to show the class. The last time I was out looking at like old stuff in thrift stores or antique stores and whatnot, I found a stapler that I really like.
And I think it's a stapler.
Yeah, it's a Pilot Model 402. It has, I don't know, it's got some of the same vibes as that Dazor lamp that I will have buried with me.
Just like over-engineered industrial stamped steel.
Yeah, basically. This is like before the swing line design that is like ubiquitous at this point. Let me see, is there a... I might just have to send you a picture.
Yeah, I think I might need an image for this one.
There's gotta be an eBay or something here. Here we go. Look at it. Look at this. So it uses a coiled spring mechanism to keep tension on these stack of staples.
Whoa, oh, this...
And it pulls them
satisfying
forward.
Satisfying as hell.
And says... Yeah, it's heavy too. Like, the plate. There's a little flip switch that allows you to change the spread of the staples, just like a modern one.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that coiled spring pulls the staples to the front instead of pushing them to the front.
Interesting.
Which I think is
that's
change.
Cool.
It's got that nice knob on the top.
It's a big old button. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
That
yeah.
looks satisfying as hell to smash.
Yeah. Yeah. Something about this thing, I just like it. I like tools that very effectively do one thing well.
Yeah, this is a kick-ass looking stapler. Damn.
Mm-hmm.
All right. My bright spot is a little bit more digital. My partner and I finished playing through Lorelei and the Laser Eyes this week after I think like 20 plus hours of doing it, an hour and a half at night each night after our son went to sleep. And I think part of my enjoyment of that game is just like the good old puzzles of it. It is a very good like logic puzzle game. But the second part of it that I love so much, and this has been like a topic that you and I have discussed a lot more recently, but it has a very, very good, like it tickles that part of my brain that gets really excited for sophomore and high school English lit, where there are themes and there are symbols and there are recurring motifs. And it finally feels like someone like did it on purpose, and you're not like deep reading something that maybe didn't need it. It's like, yes, if you look at this long enough, you will see that there are themes going on here, and we did that intentionally, and it's supposed to make you feel good when you discover them. And I really appreciated that.
There's something about a well-crafted narrative that, especially one that makes you question if a human could keep that up for that long on purpose. That is kind of fun.
Yeah, and it's like they do a really good job of layering it into the puzzles too, which is the thing. It's not like there's a story happening and also you're doing puzzles. It's that many times the answer and the key to the puzzles is understanding the recurring themes of what is going on in the game. Like, if you can internalize the three dates that are important in that game and the idea of mazes and factors of 3 and 9, then like you're probably going to make it pretty far in there without having to like really unpack too much of it. It's a good game. Highly recommend.
Today's shared bright spot: intentional design.
Yes. Yeah. You know what? Yeah, exactly.
I prepared a bright spot this time.
I have also prepared a bright spot. Okay, I am ready to go. My bright spot.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a lot going on lately. My bright spot is incredibly mundane and very boring. And it is Dr. Browner's peppermint soap.
Perfect.
Tell me
about it.
It's fantastic. I've now hit the part of my running program where it is getting to be too many miles, and it is still hot as hell in the Northeast. So I end up running like 5 or 6 miles, and then I come back and it has been 85 degrees in that, and I am just like absolutely decimated. I finally went and got my favorite summertime shower supply, which is Dr. Browner's peppermint soap. And it is soap that has actual peppermint extract in it.
Okay.
So
like a tea tree oil kind of sensation out of it.
Yeah. And it's just like when everything is just muggy and gross and hot and terrible, at least there's just like a thin film of cooling peppermint on me. And it has the past like 2 weeks, it has brought me immense joy to have that going on finally.
It's like experiencing, was it Take Five gum? What was that called?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I think it's Take Five.
It's like one of those commercials. Yeah. Put in your shower.
Yeah. Oh, it's just Five gum. Take Five gum. Is okay. A candy bar.
Oh, that's the candy bar with the pretzels in it.
Which is also good, but not like Goosebumps good. Like Five gum.
No. And you wouldn't want the gum and the candy bar at the same time. That would be terrible.
That'd be terrible. Five gum is the Axe body spray of gum, I think. Just it conjuring it in my mind, that's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. So my bright spot is are you familiar with Defunctland, the YouTube channel?
Yes. I've never watched any of it, but I have heard of it.
Okay. So they do like primarily videos about theme parks and usually theme parks that maybe no longer exist or rides that no longer exist. Although one of my favorite videos from that channel is Disney Channel's theme, A History Mystery. And it is exploring the origins of that little four-note bumper that they would play during the like wand breaks.
Oh, on like drag out kids or whatever.
Yeah, they drag out one of the stars of the day to like draw the Mickey with a glow stick and play that little four note. It's an hour and a half long video. I have watched it 3 times, and I have cried each time watching that video. It is
interesting.
Amazing. Yeah, so I'm not going to describe any more of it than that, because I feel like that's enough of a teaser. Hey, check out this Disney Channel teaser. Theme. Warning, you may cry.
Holy shit. Okay. I will throw that in the show notes and also just add this video to the watch list. Oh, yeah, from 2020.
It's a good one.
A History Mystery. Okay. Yep. Huh. All right.
Give that one of you when you are prepared for it.
When I am emotionally prepared to see Hannah Montana and weep.
Yeah. It's not like set. You know, just watch the damn thing.
Okay.
Yep,
we'll do.
Just watch it.
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But before we do that, let's get into some bright spots. What's a positive thing that's happened to you in the past 10 days?
Okay. We'll go with this. Not we are not sponsored, but I would be open to it. Fisherman's Friend cough drops is going to be my bright spot.
All right.
Those are some real function over form. I think I had you pick up a box when you were needing something a while ago, and they are aggressive and they do their job.
I think
what I'm looking for.
I would describe them as the cough drops equivalent of smelling salts.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's fair. I mean, you can also just bury your nose in the little Ziploc bag of those, and that'll get you going too.
Oh my God. Just doing whippets off your cough drops.
Yeah, they're great. They're still cheap. I think they've had the same formula for like 70 years or something. They look like shoe leather, I feel like.
Yeah, yeah.
they shoe leather would probably taste better. Wouldn't work better, though, so.
They are truly awful and also effective.
Yeah, yeah. That's on brand for my stuff.
Hate and love them for it. They're awful. I hate them so much, but they do help me breathe when I am very sick, and for that I guess I'm okay with it.
I exclusively love them. I think they're great. I hope they never change. I will die alone on this hill.
Yeah, I feel like calling them Fisherman's Friend is a very apt name for them, because they are very much like, I imagine the Gordon's fisherman having a weird sewing kit tin of like 1920s era like sewing needles in them, and except it's these Fisherman Friend lozenges that he just made himself while he was waiting for the boat. He just rolled them all up and made these weird little things that make you smell better, because holy cow, do they seem like they made them in 1923, and maybe the ones you're having now were actually still made in 1923.
Oh, yeah, just one big batch early. So this is unrelated, but this is my theory about candy corn, is that no one's produced candy corn for like 20, 30 years minimum. We're just recycling the same candy corn over and over again.
The Brock's company is just, we made 30 million candy corns.
You can leave that stuff
every year.
Exactly. You can just leave it out in a dish forever and nothing happens to them. So that's my dark theory.
I like that. The notion that there are fresh candy corns is just all of us lying to ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I get that.
What's now you have to do it. Do the thing.
My bright spot is, since I got this computer up here, I've been spending more time up in my office, and for probably the past several months I've been throwing a wool blanket over the door and a towel under the door jamb just to soundproof it a little bit, because my kid sleeps on the other side of this wall, and I finally got sick of it, and I bought some additional acoustic blankets and all of that fun stuff. Mm-hmm. But my bright spot is I have a shelving unit here, and I have to run a closet rod from the shelving unit all the way to the wall so that I can mount the blankets, and it's going to work like a cool curtain dealy. But my bright spot is that after spending 5-6 years now learning how to do CAD design and all that bullshit, I just 3D printed the specific closet rod mount I need so that it will tie directly into the shelving unit instead of having to do what I usually do, like, and jerry rig a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah.
So I used 6 years of furniture design CAD technology to make a little widget that's 60 millimeters in diameter so that I can put a closet rod on my shelving unit.
That's exciting stuff. Is this your first, like, fully functional print?
Well, I have to, like, I don't have a 3D printer, unfortunately. So I have to, like, send away for it. So it'll be arriving next week. This is technically the first print I've used in the house. I used it for that pen project I worked on. So I have, like, several fully functional, like, pen clicking mechanisms that I 3D printed. But this is the first thing I will actually use more than looking at it for 10 seconds and saying, fuck, that doesn't work. It's time for your bright spot, Logan.
No. Pass. No. And you were going to ask me this, and I had a thing ready, and I forgot that at least 20 minutes ago.
Perfect.
and have not come up with a new one. So we're going to go with what is on my desk, which is this sparkling ice plus caffeine beverage in the flavor of Citrus Twist. This has been my replacement ever since I started my blood feud with my last seltzer company. So,
not to be named.
Oh no, my brain's falling out.
Liquid death.
Thank you. I was gonna say all that's in my coming to my brain is murder your thirst, which was the tagline. yeah, liquid death. They can die in a deep hole. For removing all of the fruit extracts from their beverages and choosing new, even larger and weirder can sizes to hide said change in formula.
Nice.
And do some shrinkflation while they're at it.
Love that.
So, heck with that. I now have this Citrus Twist sparkling ice plus caffeine, which is, I don't know, like 70% of a Diet Mountain Dew, I feel like. It's a placeholder.
It sounds like Citrus Twist plus caffeine sure sounds like a Mountain Dew to me.
Yeah, it's fine. It's totally tolerable. I don't know. I have a few a week.
Okay.
But I do like them, and I like having them.
Nice.
So we'll go with that for now.
Well, anything to stick it to liquid death.
Yeah, yeah. I had to turn my bright spot into me being upset with the company.
That's fine.
Welcome to the theme of today's episode.
So that's today's episode. My bright spot is also, I guess, technically a dark spot, comma, yes. Bright spot. So I think at the end, at the episode we did last, my bright spot was using my technical prowess of doing CAD design to make a little widget to hold up a curtain rod in my office.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So the 3D print took a lot longer than I wanted it to. It came in like mid last week. And it showed up and it was wrong. And it was incredibly frustrating and very annoying. And I hated it. And that's the dark spot. The bright spot, though, is in which way it was wrong. Because after the initial disappointment of receiving the thing, after waiting, I think, like 2 weeks for it to show up, the way that it was wrong is that it was an order of magnitude too small.
Oh, did you make a tiny little Stonehenge?
Yes. So it's a...
Did you put the wrong units?
It was the correct units. I don't know what happened. The 3D file, when it was input into the actual software, it just dropped a zero, which...
That file compression.
Yeah, I don't know how it happened, but it did. So I was supposed to have a thing that was going to hold an inch and a quarter curtain rod.
Uh-huh.
So it's probably going to be like 2.25 inches in diameter. That's going to hold up this curtain rod. It was going to be like a big robust thing. It's got holes for a screw in there.
This is now my bright spot.
And I got the box and I was like, okay, this is like a decent sized box. And then I opened the box and it was filled with packing peanuts.
Yeah,
I was like, that's weird. So I dropped off
the packing peanuts. Should have found the thing by now.
Yeah, it seems odd. And then inside it was probably a plastic. It was like one of those mailers that's just bubble wrap on the outside.
Yeah.
But it was the size of like a Wrigley pack of gum.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it was just bubble wrap, and it was wrapped around the center thing. And I was like, this is really confusing. Did they just forget to put it in here? Like, what's going on here? So I unwrapped it, and I shit you not, they sent me two. They doubled the amount.
That's kind of them.
But they were, I don't even know the best size comparison. Like, they were, you could probably fit 15 of them on my pinky, like, fingernail. Like they were teeny tiny. Like the diameter of the smallest mechanical pencil eraser you could think of. Like it was ridiculous. They were were 6 millimeters in diameter. So they were like teeny, teeny, tiny.
Amazing.
And I got two of them.
Could they be like toothpick holders or something? Is that
I mean, maybe.
Is there someone with a dollhouse with equally small curtain rods?
Yes. I mean, honestly, like, yes. That's, it could probably, yeah, if you're using toothpicks that way, you could probably make it work. Like, this is now going in my popsicle house. But it was the most just like, oh, this is not what I wanted. Now I have to wait an entire week to get another one in. But also, it was so hilariously wrong. That has not happened to me in that drastic of a way in very long time. And it brought me great joy to look at these teeny tiny things and be like, shoot.
So now the question is, if did you determine the cause of the missing zeros, or are we rolling the dice and you're going to get another itty bitty thing?
So I think I figured it out. I went back into the order software and noticed that they dropped the zero on the like uploaded file. So I uploaded I used a completely different file format and like uploaded that, and everything seemed fine. So I guess we'll find out next week if that is the truth or not. The part was significantly more expensive than the original one, which makes it seem like the volume is correct. But you know, hey, who knows?
I hope you just get just a shitload of tiny ones now.
Yeah, or one really big one.
Or
it's
one
like
really
two times too big. Yeah.
Yeah. Put your whole head in it. Yeah.
Yeah. Just have to start using baseball bats instead of this curtain rod. I will get it figured out, but you know, might have to just chop some stuff up and make it work differently if this continues.
How many times does this have to fail before you buy a 3D printer?
So that's the problem, right? Like if it continues to fail, I will continue to throw money at it, at which point I could have bought a 3D printer, but now I'm not going to because I'm already so deep.
In some ways it would be stupid not to buy a 3D printer at this point.
This is what I keep saying, but there are other people in this house who don't believe that.
I was about to say, does your partner listen to this show? I can't remember.
No.
Hopefully not. Okay, good.
Thankfully.
Good.
Maybe someday there will be a 3D printer. I just think of the chaos of the like file cabinet next to my desk that used to have all of my pens and pencils organized perfectly. Mm-hmm. And then now that there is a child who runs in here and sabotages everything, like that is now, it is just one sorted drawer of everything in one giant pile. And I think about the intricate pieces of a 3D printer and how much that is not set up for that level of chaos.
Yeah, that's kind of what keeps me from diving in too deep as well. It's just the frustration from balancing a print bed like the 50th time that week seems like something that might not be great for my brain chemistry.
Yeah, ask me a different time about how I leveled a router that has a 3-foot by 3-foot cutting bed to within 0.001 millimeters. It was not fun.
Yeah, no, we never operated on that type of precision. Like the building work you and I did was meant to be viewed at a distance of no less than 50 feet for a reason.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It was more important that it broke down and fit on a truck than it was that it stood up and looked good.
Yeah. Yeah. Ugh. I'll have to, this, I don't even know why I'm telling you this on the show, but I will have to send you pictures of the L bracket abomination that is the deck outside of this apartment that I live in.
I'm so excited. It's judicious use of a bracket is second only to an incorrect use of two hinges to me.
Wildly incorrect use of L brackets here. These are like load bearing L brackets.
Perfect. Ugh. Good thing you're leaving that place soon.
Start with your bright spot. I remember two things this time.
Nice. Yes, my bright spot. Oh, easy. We went to the beach today. You can reuse bright spots, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, perfect.
Look, I don't know if you've looked around lately, but I think we're going to need to reuse bright spots at some point.
Yeah. So we drove out to a really nice beach about an hour away from us and had a nice, I guess, morning to early afternoon, just hanging out, building sandcastles and doing all that good stuff. We left the PB&Js at home, unfortunately, which was
a bit
of a problem. But we brought enough snacks, so everyone was still happy. And it was beautiful. It was like a 75 degree day, mostly sunny, little windy. So it was never like hot and sweaty and gross, which is my least favorite beach time. It was perfect.
Well, that is delightful. Was it heavily trafficked? I feel like today could have been quite busy.
It was getting there by the time we left, but it wasn't too bad. It was, I guess it's Labor Day, so folks had the day off, I guess. So
yeah,
it was kind of busy, but not like it's not like a party beach. So there wasn't like an unruly amount of music and just like baseballs flying everywhere. I feel like that's something that happens all the time at beaches, is that people are playing catch and everyone is getting prepared to be domed.
Yeah, that's gotta be. The beach seems significantly more stressful when you have a small human to keep track of also.
Yeah.
The chaos of a beach.
Yeah, a little bit. There was also the thing we like about this beach is that it's like a pretty low key, like not like huge ocean beach. It's just kind of like a relatively small, like mostly a locals only beach of a seaside town that we really like going to. But there is very large rock formations that everyone is climbing around there. So and that was the, you know that feeling you get when you're like at like a height, or you feel like you get that feeling in your bones that at any point I could fall over and this is going to hurt really bad. I just had that the entire time. I'm just like hovering over my 2-year-old child, making sure that she doesn't stumble anywhere. Yeah. And he was fine, but like,
yeah,
everything was covered in powdery sand. And like, he was carrying a bucket full of water and sand in it. And it was stressful for me, but he was having a blast. So it doesn't really matter. And then we got down by the water and it was fine.
A physics problem in the making.
It really was.
The friction coefficient is not great.
Yeah,
that extra weight swinging off axis.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. And then he's like 2, so he's like walking around and he's looking at everything, but not noticing all of the cracks in the rocks around.
Oh
him.
Yeah,
just like oh no, he's gonna 127 hours himself here. And we're going to be at the beach, and I don't know what to do about
it. You're going to have to chew his arm off. Yeah.
Yeah. Luckily, everyone came home, all limbs attached, and everyone was happy. But
came home to sandwiches, even.
We came home to sandwiches, correct. We came home and had our PB&Js. Slightly soggy, but they worked out.
I'm going to steal what maybe would be a future bright spot of yours, but I'm going to steal it today.
Okay.
Because I hit shuffle on the full like playlist on my phone the other day because I could not choose a thing.
That's a real roll the dice maneuver.
Just yeah, because I have like equally wide and narrow interests.
Yeah, and like 15 years of it.
Yeah, narrow but very disparate interests, I guess. How about that? So my bright spot is going to be Frank Wildhorn's Jekyll and Hyde the musical.
Ooh.
Because that soundtrack is still real good.
It's been real good.
It's been good since I did that show in like 3rd grade. So,
oh, I forgot you did that show in 3rd grade. What a weird show to do for a 3rd grader.
Yeah, man. Starts to put some of the pieces together, doesn't it?
Yeah,
you're like,
bit.
Yeah, this is the 9-year-old who was doing that. That checks out.
Woof.
Yeah.
Brothels.
Learned
drug
brothels.
Use.
Yep.
It's good. Good 3rd grade fodder.
Yeah, I remember
the duality of man.
We were doing calligraphy in art class. So I did the lyrics to Facade as my calligraphy project, which again, it was a lot for,
yeah,
compared to what the other children were doing. It was noticeable.
Yeah. Fanciful versions of your name versus an entire treatise on facades and how we all wear different faces.
Yeah, let's examine social dynamics here. Yeah.
Yeah, yikes. Yeah.
Hmm.
Wait, I will put in links to the Jekyll and Hyde show because it is very good. Yeah. I will also put in links to the whatever the hard rock version of it is, because that's also fun.
Jekyll and Hyde Resurrection?
I think that sounds right.
Was the subtitle?
There's some good
heavier
guitar solos in there that feel very odd in a Broadway show, but it's still good. Yeah.
They're like pretty butt rock from what I remember.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're just like, yeah, we are doing guitar. We are doing like capital E, capital G electric guitar business here.
It's good stuff. They were having fun with it.
A couple extra tracks on that album too, relative to the original Broadway.
Yes. Yes. It's like a whole other additional character, I think. Like I feel like the brothel character gets a lot more in that one. Nice.
Hope I get to do that show again sometime.
I would just like to see it again.
Yeah.
What's your bright spot?
Oh, have you caught any of the celebrity number six weirdness on Reddit? Does that mean anything to you?
Celebrity number six. I know nothing about this.
Okay. This is just like, I don't know, one of the last few neat Reddit things I've seen in a long time. So I'm going to butcher this, but you can find news stories everywhere if you want accurate information. Don't come to me for truly accurate things ever.
Never do.
Good. There was some fabric that existed. It had like flattened and stylized portraits of celebrities kind of like tessellated together. And it's got like curtains or like maybe a shower curtain kind of vibe to to the fabric. And someone posted a picture of it. I think it was like 4 years ago, maybe number of years ago now. And people thought it was kind of neat. And then there was let's figure out who all of these humans on this piece of fabric are. And over the course of time, people were able to find either the exact photo that the portrait came from or very similar ones for all but one of these individuals. And for multiple years, no one knew who celebrity number six was, because they numbered each of them on the fabric to make discussion possible.
That's fantastic. Okay.
There's an identity solved. There is an identity. Yeah. I believe she is an Italian model, I think.
Okay.
I read this yesterday, so I'm a little fuzzy. Yeah, I don't know. It was a rabbit hole that a lot of people fell down. Not a lot. A few people fell down very deeply over what is essentially a very meaningless thing. And it's neat that has come full circle.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love when those things end up happening and there's a good, interesting resolution. I feel like too often it's someone found a safe in their house and then you either never hear from them again or there's nothing in there because, of course, there's nothing in there.
Yep.
But sometimes it's doubloons, and I always love it when it's doubloons.
Or like an unexploded landmine. That's the other thing that shows up sometimes.
Yes. Yeah.
People are like, what's this? And everyone's like, that's a ordinance. Mortar.
Don't touch
and
that.
And you need to call a person.
Jesus, don't touch that.
Yeah. So yeah, that's going to be my bright spot for this week, because it is the right kind of meaningless, delightful nonsense story.
Yeah, that's good stuff. My bright spot for today is, we went to the zoo today. I took the boy to the zoo because we needed to have a fun activity to do in the morning, and it was finally nice, beautiful weather out, so we were able to go there and have a good time. But the zoo here, they do zoo lights. Are you aware of what this is?
No. No, I have no idea.
So it's, I don't know what the origins of it are, but basically the zoo by us is it's in like a very old park. So it's kind of like a very sprawling zoo instead of something that's like really tight and confined. And so every spring and every fall, I think there's some organization. I'm assuming that it's a like Chinese heritage organization or something, just based on it. Almost every single time I've gone, it has depicted like Chinese myth or things about Chinese culture, which is always just really fun to walk around. But their giant like wire and like fabric sculptures that have they have lighting in them. So you'll walk down a like 12 foot tall archway of just orchids growing and, you know, massive bumblebees that are over there and like pollinating them. Or you'll walk past, you know, one of the ones we saw was they must have been like 20 foot tall and 50 feet long Chinese dragons flanking the pathway to the birdhouse. And then it's just like massive sculptures and they're beautiful every time. So we went through there and at night they end up lighting them up and it's just like a really cool walk through the zoo at nighttime so they can get ticket sales and see this really cool stuff. But they just started loading it in and I think they're getting pretty close to being done with it. So we went to the zoo and maybe unfortunately for the zoo's sake, the animals were not the main attraction for us when we went there today. And instead we walked around and hugged all of the pandas and all of the fun little animals that you get to see around there that will be lit up at night. But during the day, it was just a fun little touch and go nature museum.
All of that checks out.
Yeah. It was great. Yeah.
Does it make you want to like design sets and lights again?
Oh, kind of. Some of them are like very rudimentary animatronics, you know, like you'll have like a panda that has a fruit in its hand or like a bamboo stalk and it'll like raise it to its mouth and then lower it down again. So it's like nothing complex, but it is really fun just to like walk through there and see like, yes, I see how you've built this scene and then how you will use the lighting around it to make something mm-hmm. cool out of it. It's neat. I have enjoyed it. And they've been different every time I've gone, which is kind of the cool thing.
Okay.
Like they change
so they're
them.
Not just recycling.
No. They'll like put them in different places and like block off different parts of the zoo. And then they end up just using fully different like setups and everything. It's really neat.
Well, that's slick.
I like it a lot.
I actually have one of these ready to go. Our good friend Nick sent us a video of what was that game? Trombone Champ? Is that what that was?
Oh yes.
I think. So I had to show my partner that because that seemed like a thing they would get a chuckle at, and I was correct. But that led us down a path of like weird instrument covers. Like semi-nonsensical covers of songs.
Yes.
And I found a YouTube channel that I'm gonna send you this because we should maybe put it in the show notes because I think this is just kind of, I don't know, it's kind of delightful. I'm glad this exists. This individual does like play-along covers with a speed bag.
Interesting. Okay.
So at Speedbag Bard is the
Speedbag Bard?
Yeah.
Oh, this rips. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow. I don't know half of these songs, but I already
love
it.
They're not perfect, but they're like pretty good. They're approaching perfect, which I think is neat, and dude pumps them out pretty often.
This is wild.
You do get your Final Fantasy VII One Winged Angel. If we want to stick with like a video game thing, Meshuggah's Bleed popped up yesterday.
Chop Suey by System of a Down. Love that.
That one's pretty good. Yeah.
Oh, this dude is just absolutely drenched by the end of these.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if he is like, if it's like doing 40 takes in a row before he nails it. Or if this is just like he throws on a playlist and a workout and just sits there for 2 hours cycling through songs and uploads one when when it lines up appropriately. I'm not really sure what the production process looks like for this individual, but
my God, yeah,
they are putting in work.
I feel like Speedbag is one of those things that you just see it done. And you're like, oh, I could do that. And I know that if I were to do that, I would either hit myself in the face or it would just never work.
Yeah. I remember messing with one for, I don't know, 15 minutes or something at buddy's house, I think. And it is definitely one of those things where, yeah, you've seen it done and you're like, oh, okay, I could do an incredibly amateur version of this probably. And no. Yeah. It is a humbling task.
Yeah. Oh boy. Oh, I guess this kind of encapsulates how I feel about these videos in general. But the first comment on one of these videos that was posted 2 weeks ago is, this feels like it should have been uploaded 13 years ago. And this is the type of YouTube that I remember.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
I get that vibe for sure.
Are you, now we're just fully in a YouTube hole, but yeah, are you aware of Shitty Flute?
No.
Flute is also YouTube that I experienced probably 13 years ago. Looks like they're still out there doing it.
They have significantly more subscribers than my poor Speedbag human.
Yeah, so the one I remember is from 7 years ago, and it is Britney Spears' Toxic. And if you would like to absolutely have a grand old time, you should do that. Because it is my second favorite bad music cover of YouTube. My actual first favorite one, and you should add this because it just brings me great, great joy. Have you heard the Jurassic Park Melodica cover?
Probably, if it's the one that's like stuck in my head forever.
It's it is 30 seconds long, and it is still one of the most joyful things I've ever seen on YouTube.
Is it the one that pops up right after the, like, welcome to Jurassic Park line?
It's as the brontosaurs are walking out of the water and everyone is looking so awe-inspired. And it is incredibly well done. I love it. Makes me smile every time.
Silly instruments playing impactful moments. Always good.
Always good. My bright spot is less silly, I guess. I have been for 13 weeks now. I've been training for a half marathon, and last Sunday was my it was a 12 mile run that I did, and it was like beautiful, gorgeous morning out in Boston, and I ran from the Arboretum, which is just like this beautiful, it's run by Harvard, so it's like one of those cool arboretums that has, you know, like all the fun, like brass tags on everything. And we used to go there all the time. And then I ran up past where we used to live and then ended up running all the way through Boston and then coming back because Boston is small. But it was like absolutely wonderful. So the I guess bright spot one is it was a really nice run. I haven't done a long run like that ever before. And it was been like building up to it for several weeks now, and it was good. It went really nice and I was really happy with it. But bright spot number two is I am officially in my taper, so that is my longest run, and I am winding down the mileage until race day in like 3 weeks, and then I will do the big run. But I'm now in the just kind of rest in your body. So after doing like 13 long weeks of building up mileage from I haven't run since college, it is nice to finally take a break.
The deload week is always. How long do you have before?
Three-ish weeks.
Okay.
It's the first week in October.
Okay.
I'm real excited for it because it's like in a part of Massachusetts that's like, it's absolutely wonderful. It's like a seaside town and it's just running on all of the roads that go along the coastline of the whole place. So it's going to be like absolutely beautiful and the leaves are just starting to turn and it'll be 50 degrees probably. So it's like prime conditions.
That's ideal.
Yeah. And then I'll be done by like 10 o'clock in the morning. So then I have the rest of the day to just gorge myself on lobster rolls, because we got like a Airbnb up there, which is
perfect.
Mostly what I'm looking forward to. It'll be nice to finish the race, but you know, at this point, the goal is finish and then lobster roll.
Yeah. It will be nice to be able to say you have finished the race.
Yeah. Exactly.
I know we've mentioned this offline a bit, but have you further considered your winter cardio solution?
No, I was actually, I've been thinking about it a little bit more, and I don't know what I'm going to end up doing. I think I have a little bit of time before the fear of ice really slips in, but I still don't know. It might just be biking, or at that point I might have to like find a gym and bite the bullet and just go on a treadmill, which sounds like death to me, but you know,
that is miserable for a lot of reasons.
Yeah. Like nothing like 10 miles on a treadmill in the deep, dark winter, but maybe it would be fine.
And you get to be surrounded by strangers who are using equipment improperly.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I haven't thought about it too much. I've been thinking like, okay, well, I finished this big running project, and now I have spent, you know, 16 weeks relearning how to run properly. Now what? Like, do I just sign up for another one? Like a real marathon is, you know, I'm in my mid 30s. I do not have a marathon as like a fun new project I'm going to pick up.
You're in the right city for it.
Yeah, I know.
You don't have to go that far.
They just released the target times for the 2025 Boston Marathon, and it is it's like a lottery system to even get an entry, but in order to do it, you have to run, I think you have to run a previous like qualifier marathon, and you have to do it under 3 hours, which like just to put that into perspective, I will be running half that distance and my target time is 2 hours and 20 minutes. So like the amount of absolute training I would have to do to even get close to getting a ticket for that thing is nuts.
And then you have to get lucky.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Can you imagine doing all that and like just not geeking over that line? And they're just like, yeah, your number didn't come up, bud.
Yeah. Sorry. 258.
Good luck maintaining that for another year.
Yeah. Yeah. So then you just fly somewhere else and have to make it happen. Yeah. No, thank you. I don't know if I can, like, running for 2 hours is fine. Like that's a fun, enjoyable thing. Most of the podcasts I listen to are that long now, but three plus feels hard.
You're getting into like Lord of the Rings territory.
Yes.
Yeah. At that point.
Yeah.
And it just becomes like a logistical hurdle. Scheduling that many long runs in a period of time, I would imagine, is just, like the scheduling on it is annoying. How many hours a week are you up to if you continue to increase that distance? Like, that's a never ending.
Yeah.
At least with weightlifting, you just lift heavier things for roughly the same amount of time.
Right.
But yeah, cardio, that's going to balloon.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'm basically up to doing around a little over, I think it's like 20, 25 miles a week now, which means that, you know, I run four times. I ran 12, and then the remaining 12 to 15 are split between three other runs. And like those are pushing 40 minutes to an hour now. So it's, you know, I am running 6 hours a week, and that is a lot of time to fill.
Yeah. That's just the running, not the like,
yes,
wind up and clean up and wind down.
Yeah.
That either.
This is a real tangent on top of a tangent, but when I went to my first race a couple months ago now, I was just like hanging around and just eavesdropping on other people. And I remember, this is a truly baffling thought that I even had this, but I remember listening to two guys and they were talking about like, oh, what their warm-up routine was going to be. I was like, oh, okay. Like, yeah, warming up. Like, obviously,
you're just that's like a thing people do.
Yeah. Right. That's what you do. I was like, oh, I was going to do some stretches. Like, that's fine. And then they're talking about how like, oh, we'll only have time for like one or 2K, I think. And then I realized when I'm standing there in line, oh, right. Yeah. In order to get ready to run, the only way that one gets ready to run is to also run. Like you just
run a little bit.
You run a little bit and then you can run some more later. It's like,
yeah.
But I didn't, I signed up for 4 miles. I didn't sign up for 4.5 miles. If I wanted to do 4.5 miles, I would have got a different race.
Have you considered sitting in a circle, stretching and counting to 10 in German loudly?
See, that's the kind of aggression that I would like to bring to my race in October.
Unfortunately, it does mean you have to lose immediately. So,
well,
I can't guarantee you're going to finish the race if our pattern holds.
Yeah,
from high school soccer.
Yeah, and we never won, and we usually
we won one game, damn
almost
it.
Double digits. So
we won one game, which was one more. No, we won like 3 games that year.
Which was at least a new record, that I was, think.
Yeah, they had not won a game the previous season. So just exponential growth is what we brought to the table.
I would like, and it was all due to the counting, I think.
Yeah.
You know what's coming. I know what's coming.
I do.
What's your bright spot?
This one feels a little bit like cheating, but we haven't brought it up in a while. And I think I should. My bright spot is actually going to be Knowledge Fight, the podcast from which we stole this.
The bright spot.
Yeah. I have realized, I almost sent this to you in a text message, but I wanted to save it, that Knowledge Fight is the old school RuneScape of podcasts. I cycle in and out of it for months at a time. I dive way too deep into it. I can't in good conscience recommend that anyone else interact with it in any way.
Uh-huh. And there's years of built up lore.
So much. So much. I've forgotten more lore from that show than I remember, similar to RuneScape. But yeah, I've been catching back up. I've worked through, I don't know, 5 months worth of pods in the last week or so.
My God. That's a lot of Knowledge Fight.
Yeah.
Would you like to tell the kind people what Knowledge Fight is?
Knowledge Fight is this is a thing that comes up in the subreddit often, which is just like, how do you explain this to a person and not sound insane? And there's not a great way, I don't think. Knowledge Fight are two former comedians who cover and debunk Alex Jones and InfoWars and their adjacent terrible people in that orbit. It is pretty academic, I feel like, for what it is.
Yeah, I think the thing that really stood out to me about the show is that it is not them necessarily lampooning Alex Jones for being a just crazy person beyond all belief. It is very much here is a crazy thing that he says. Let me explain to you the context of that thing and the like philosophical principle about like behind the argument that he is making and like how that is flawed and wrong and what he is trying to do by saying this thing.
Yeah. And that dude talks a lot of shit. So you get all kinds of crazy topics. You learn about all kinds of random things across all of space and time. Honestly, because that guy's on air forever. So, yeah, it is good. I don't know, like a byproduct of listening to it means you have to hear Alex Jones, which I don't think anyone should do.
No.
So that's why it's tough to like recommend people listen to it. But it is excellent.
It is a tough recommendation. I will say that if you can listen to it, and this is the frame of mind I go into the show, and I know that you are incapable of this, but I go into it as these two funny comedian people have listened to the craziest thing you could possibly think of, and they debunk it slowly. And so long as you take that little part of your brain that knows that there are people who watch that show seriously and believe the things that Alex Jones is saying, if you take that little part and you just set it aside, you get to hear the wildest thing that you could possibly imagine every 5 minutes, and then you can have a fun, enjoyable rest of your day. just separate that part where there are people who actually believe these things, and you'll have a good time. If you can't do that, don't listen to the show.
I come at it from the opposite end, where I need to understand how people came to believe those things for the world to make sense to me again, which I think is maybe a place some people can recognize being in as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Check out Knowledge Fight. Listen to the first, you know what? my like pseudo bright spot is listen to the Knowledge Fight theme song. And then if that doesn't hook you, then you can get out. And if you don't like the first 10 minutes, get out and leave it behind and never touch it again.
Yeah, it is the best theme song for a podcast.
It's certainly the best theme song featuring Alex Jones.
Yeah. Made by DJ Dan Arkey. Shout out to him. Does excellent work.
Dan Arkey. Incredible.
Yeah. Just it was a random listener who now, like, when Catherine and I went and saw Knowledge Fight live in Milwaukee a couple years ago now, DJ Dan Arkey was there as well. He was able to sync up with that part of the tour, and we got a live set from the individual who made the theme song. So that was really neat.
Hell yeah. Good stuff.
And yours?
Ooh, I don't think I've shared this on the show before. I don't know if I even told you this. My bright spot for this episode is a minor preamble. So my son is 2.5 years old now, a little bit older, and he's a little bit speech delayed. So he's still not like speaking in full sentences and stuff. And we're like going to speech therapy, and he's picking up words a little bit quicker now, but still pretty slow. And one of the things that the speech therapist told us is, hey, the best you can do is kind of get him to be more comfortable making sounds, like getting more sounds and kind of stacking them together. And, you know, those are the building blocks of language.
Yeah. So that makes sense.
Yeah. So we get
the instrument working.
Exactly. So we started with, so the real basic, he was doing dada and mama for a while. And then one of the ways that the speech therapist was like, hey, here's another way to add in sounds is transitioning from dada to daddy, which I don't love, but it's fine.
Just conceptually. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not my favorite.
That's a charged term in the year of our Lord 2024.
Yeah. So I took the hit for the boy to learn language. But my bright spot is because of this idea of stacking things together, we have now just started to stack sounds together. And as we talked about, I guess in a future episode, he has learned new sounds and he's starting to make new sounds. And he has decided that at least for this week, he is going to call me Daddy-O. And it is hilarious.
That's pretty rad.
Yep.
Man, I'm going to need to resist the urge to incorporate that occasionally now.
Yep. It took a while for me to warm up to it. But it is very funny that when I come downstairs from recording this podcast, he will run over to the stairs and he will say "Daddy-O" in a very loud, excited way. And it has brightened my day.
And we get him a small zoot suit.
Oh, if only. Like Halloween is coming.
That's true.
Get him a cane.
How did we make it to Daddy-O?
I don't know. I did not see Daddy-O.
Okay, no, that was my question. Yeah.
Nope.
Because there's not a lot of letters you can append to the tail end of dad to make
Daddy-O happen.
Recognizable. Yeah. Like, yeah. You know.
I can only imagine that either my wife did it and it was like a one off thing and he's 2.5. So now that's his whole world. Or just like weird portmanteau of like E-I-E-I-O. And then it just kind of went from there, but I honestly have no idea.
I mean, I would assume the first time or two elicited a reaction.
Oh, so yeah. It was certainly encouraged once it happened.
Yeah.
But yeah, where it came from, I have no idea.
Oh, that is excellent.
Yeah. But before we get into all of that, do you have a bright spot for us.
I do. Do you remember that desk lamp that I picked up a while ago? The real industrial one.
Yeah, the 70-pound one.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I have two now.
Oh no. Okay. Does this one work?
I don't know. I haven't picked it up. It says it does. Well, I would expect that it will. Yeah.
Okay, so this is still an auction site find, yes, that we have,
yep,
to gather.
Same place. Going back to get this one, hopefully in a couple days here. Yeah. I hadn't checked those in a while, and there was one there. I got it for like, I don't know, $30 or something. Like slightly more than I paid for the last one, but still a very reasonable amount for an expensive table lamp.
Yeah, that's fun. Is this in preparation of your upcoming move? Now you have more rooms. You have more rooms that need lamp.
No, I can at least justify having more lamps now. I think mostly, I mean, I just really like that lamp. It's a real cool thing.
Yeah,
okay. I like simple and competent machines, and that is one of them. But now I don't feel bad about maybe modifying one from fluorescent tubes to LED.
Yeah, that's where I thought this was going. Now you have a backup so you can tinker.
Exactly. I would feel kind of bummed out if I like ruined my only cool lamp. So
yeah, so that's, yeah, now that's, I can exciting,
ruin half my cool lamps.
Yeah, good job.
So yeah, the Dazor 2324 is the model. If anyone out there is looking for a good industrial lamp and doesn't mind looking through antique stores or paying like $400 for a new one.
Or just find your local state auction website that is selling off.
And hope.
Yeah.
How about you?
What is my bright spot? I finished my race. I did it. I ran 13.1 miles in their entirety.
All at once, even.
All at once. It was a beautiful day. It was like it was like low 60s and sunny. And it was beautiful New England fall colors, and half of the race was along like highways that had beautiful scenic overlooks. So I only had to suffer going up and down the hills and not look at the ocean half the time. So, you know, that was good. And then at the end, I got a cookie, which is all you can hope for putting your body through that.
You've never worked harder for a cookie in your life.
Yep. Yeah.
You had a good cheering section from what I recall.
Yes. Yeah. That was good. There's a really good sign next to me that my wife made. I did not know what it was, but it is the cover of Go Dog Go, but it says Go Dad Go, which is real good. That's going in a poster frame, I think.
Awesome.
Yeah. I ran the race. I finished it, and now I have plenty of time to contemplate if I will ever do it again.
That's kind of the rub after one of those, I feel like.
It really is.
Yep. I did the thing. So now, is this a thing I do, or do I never do this again?
Yeah. I finished it, and then I like went back into the app that I use to do all my training runs and like plan it all out and everything. And I said, hey, good job. You finished your race. Here's some other things you can do. You could just do the cool down, which is a 3 week, do like 7 miles total, and you'll feel good. And then it pops up in the little bar under there. Do you want to do a full marathon now? And that one's a no from me. But it did put the, do you want to do another half marathon? And we think that if we give you some more time, you could shave at least 20 minutes off of that time that you had. And now I become a weird score chase person, but literally for my legs. And I'm not sure if I'm there yet, but I think given a month or two, I will probably be there again.
That's like a chase within a chase.
Yeah. Yeah. Right now I'm gearing up for a 5K turkey trot, because that seems like the lowest barrier do a run in the winter. And then we'll see from there. But yeah, that is my bright spot. I ran the race. I finished it.
Huzzah.
I have a medal that is in the shape of Massachusetts, which is not great, but, you know, What can you do?
What are you going to do? You'd have to move if you wanted a different shape metal. And that seems like a whole thing.
It is better than Colorado. You know, at least it's identifiable as a state, not just here's a square.
Generic square. Yeah.
Sorry to all of our Colorado listeners, but your state is a square. That doesn't mean that you are, but your state is.
But you live in one.
Yeah. Before we get into that, though, do you have a bright spot for us?
I do. A few days ago, Catherine picked up some cookies, which is always excellent. And these are you familiar with the Loft House style sugar cookie?
No, I don't think
so. Just like your standard sugar cookie with the colored frosting on the top. Sometimes they have sprinkles, frequently floured bottom.
Oh, is this like the canonical grocery store cookie?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So take that cookie and have the Oreo Corporation make that cookie.
Whoa. Okay.
So you have a chocolate cookie base with Oreo frosting on it, with some crumbled Oreos sprinkled on top.
Wow. And
it's pretty canonical bright spot, I'm going to say. They are one of the best kinds of trash cookie, I think.
I didn't realize that Loft House was like a brand of those cookies. I just assumed that every grocery store had the shitty delicious cookies, but this is just like its own thing. Huh.
Yeah, that's how I've known them. I think they're kind of like a Kleenex or a Xerox, if you will.
Hmm.
At least in my brain, where the item becomes known by the brand instead of the item itself.
Yeah. We, a while ago, we somehow managed to make it a new tradition that every time I take my son to the grocery store, which is at least once a week, he has to go to the bakery section and pick out a cookie for me and my wife and himself. And it is now we've done it enough to where this is part of it. We enter the grocery store and he signs cookie to me as to inform me that, hey, just make sure you didn't forget that we get cookies now when we go to the store.
It's cookie time. Yeah.
Yeah. And every time we bring back the bakery cookies and they're fine. Usually he picks out just like a chocolate chip cookie that half of it is just completely dipped in chocolate. And then he always picks the weird cookies for us. And recently it was snickerdoodles and we were sitting there eating our snickerdoodles in the kitchen. And my wife and I both looked at one another and were like, this is a terrible cookie. And the first thing we thought of that we would like to have are these Loft House cookies, because I also saw those. But I can't in good conscience bring home a dozen cookies because that now we're opening the floodgates of what the boy is allowed to bring home.
Just eat 10 of them on the way back, and then you're really only bringing home 2.
That's true. I should do that. That's a good way to go.
Do you have a bright spot this week?
I have 2 bright spots, and both of them are pretty quick. I finished up Space Marine 2 like 2 hours ago, and that was a real bright spot. That the ending of that game is just, it's just the meme, I think, from Predator, where it's just two beefy arms clasping hands, just bros doing bro stuff. That is that game.
Predator. That's definitely Predator. Dylan, you son of a bitch. Yeah.
It's a that game is just a real straight down the barrel video ass video game. It is real dumb fun, and I had a blast all the way to the end of it. And it continued to just like do weird 40K things that I'm a big fan of. It was a very exciting conclusion, and I kind of wanna. I'm waiting for you to get it for like a sale or something, because we need to spend some time doing bro stuff in that game.
I am very much looking forward to playing that once I have the time for it to dominate my entire existence for a week or two.
It will. It's good stuff. You will continue to look up pictures of minis, and then I will buy them, and then you won't have to.
That sounds like the best way for me to get involved in 40K, to be fair.
And my second bright spot is, I think 2 days ago, I just found out about it today. Do you know the, I guess, TikTok famous comedy musician Tom Carty?
No.
Okay.
We just stopped yet TikTok famous.
Well, so I know him from a D&D actual play where he does, it's an Australian group called Dragon Friends, and they've been doing D&D live for too long, a lot of years. Nice. But there are a bunch of D&D, or there are a bunch of Australian comedians who do improv and like stand up, and some of them are on like nightly news shows now. But they started a long time ago just doing live shows because one of them was a DM and none of them knew how to play, and arguably they still don't. But Tom does their live accompaniment, so that he'll do like live music for their seasons.
That's neat. I think you've mentioned this show to me before.
Probably.
I feel like it's maybe, I maybe have that in Podcast Addict already.
Dragon Friends is a good recommend. You should listen to it. The first episode of that show is them getting a quest at a castle, I think, and one of the guys, in like not completely understanding what the whole premise of it is, just kill a court musician, and the entire thing just devolves into chaos from there. That is Dragon Friends from the beginning. There's great musical episodes because they're all great improv comedians. But Dragon Friends is not my bright spot. I just found out that Tom Carty put out his third album, and it's called The Dance Floor at the End of the Universe. And it is a fantastic comedy album. But the thing that I love about Tom Carty is that somehow he manages to be a comedian where I will just constantly have the beats of his music stuck in my head forever. Like, the biggest earworms of all time are his three albums, and I love all of them. But the brand new one just came out, and there's some good ones on there.
Solid.
Featuring there's a song by that he did with Brian David Gilbert. Do you know BDG?
Yeah, that name is definitely familiar.
I'm sure that he's done things before that, but I know him from Polygon, and then he is very much the American version of a Tom Carty, I guess. Real good stuff. You should listen to it. It's called The Dance Floor at the End of the Universe. But before we get into that, do you have a speedy bright spot for us?
You have to go first. I forgot we were doing this again.
Yep. All right, my quick one. I finally finished Starfield Shattered Space, which isn't my bright spot, unfortunately. My bright spot is that I wrote a script about Starfield, and I finally wrapped it up, and I'll be recording it tomorrow. So my bright spot is I made a video about Starfield that was spurred by the fact that I finished Shattered Space, which isn't a bright spot. It's fine. Solid.
It's fine.
We probably won't be doing an episode about a snake cult anytime soon because there's not much there.
We could pick a different snake cult. There's more than one.
That's true. This is the snake cult episode.
That Assassin's Creed game had a snake cult in it, didn't it?
Yes. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Like Origin or something?
The ancient Greek one. Which one that was.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, that had a snake cult, I think.
Yeah. Well, we'll do an episode on Pythagoras. Don't you worry. What do you got? What's your bright spot?
Let's go. I'm just gonna keep interjecting RuneScape into things because that's what I do. I can almost do double nature runes while runecrafting. Which requires level 91 runecrafting, which is, you know, been multiple years in the making at this point. But then I can get a cool pair of gloves that when I clap them, it teleports me right to a Slayer Master. And that's pretty neat.
Okay. You have gone from 85 nature to 91 pretty quickly, if I remember correctly. It's been less than a month.
Yeah, I'm closing in on 88 right now. So a +3 boost isn't too hard to come by. I might wait until I hit 89, because a +2 boost in runecrafting is pretty easy to do. We'll do an episode about level boosting some days, but not today.